MZTV.
Welcome to MZTV. I'm Martin Sunder, your host. This is the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. Now, you're looking at the title of this show, A Great Spiritual Truth Concerning a Woman's Hair. I've spoken on this before, but I have many new subscribers who have not heard this yet, and besides that, I have new things to say about it. This is such an unknown spiritual truth, and it is so deep that I want to end the week with this. Now, I'll start by saying the most remarkable thing. It would be more sensible to build up to it and then lay this on you, but I'm going to tell you this right now. The first contact that the world has with the glory of God is a woman's hair. The first contact the world at large has, can perceive, can appreciate of God's glory is not the sunrise, it's not a butterfly, it's not a rainbow, it's a woman's hair. Now that's an astounding statement, and I better have scripture for it, and I do. But ladies, this is why you spend hundreds and hundreds, thousands of dollars a year taking care of your hair, because even women of the world who have no idea of this truth, they instinctively know that their hair is their glory. They don't know how, they don't know the whys. I'm going to tell them today. I'm going to tell everybody today, but it's the truth. It's the reason that women have whole stores dedicated to hair care products. And it's also the reason why you can go to Walmart and you can scour for an hour trying to find the men's hair care products. There might be 10 products on one shelf hidden away somewhere near the razors. But women, oh, gosh, they have conditioners, cream rinses, so many different kinds of shampoos, volumizers, and the instruments they have for bringing out, for calling forth the most beauteous aspects of their hair. The attachments on those blow dryers. And they have procedures. I don't even know what they're called, but they have special procedures. Though, a blowout. Women go into the hairstylist for a blowout. I don't know what it is, but I like the sound of it. It's a blowout. Where are you going, honey? I'm going to go get my blowout. It's a mystery. The men don't understand, but we're thankful for it. And most women don't understand it, but they're going to understand it today. So to begin, I would like to read to you a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and then 7 through 10. This is a passage from my book called Eve Raised. This is an amazing book. I think it's an underappreciated book, but those who have read it have been blown away by it. This explains to you, the subtitle is Why Women Think the Apostle Paul Doesn't Like Them. I answer those scriptures. For instance, Paul says, I don't allow a woman to teach, and a woman must be silent in the ecclesia. And it seems like he's demeaning women. It seems like he's treating women as second-class citizens. This is absolutely not the case. In fact, it's the opposite. Women are superior to men in many ways, and what Paul is saying in these statements are actually designed to protect women because they're more valuable than men. And you're going to get all this in Eve Raised. But I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and then verses 7 through 10. Now, I want you to be aware, Paul says, that the head of every man is Christ, yet the head of the woman is the man, yet the head of Christ is God. For a man indeed ought not to be covering his head, being inherently the image and glory of God. Yet the woman is the glory of man. For man is not out of woman, but woman out of man. For also, man is not created because of the woman, but woman because of the man. Therefore, the woman ought to have authority over her head because of the messengers. Wow, what a passage this is. And I honestly don't know of anyone besides myself who has been so intrigued by this and has delved so deeply into it so as to understand it. And I believe I have arrived. Years ago, I arrived at an understanding concerning this. And if you're a woman who has ever felt put down in the scriptures, then you need to get erased. And for any men out there who think that women are lesser in any way, I ask you also to read Erased. You'll have a much different opinion coming out of this book. The truth Paul is laying out here is a truth concerning glory. Paul says that Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the effulgence of God. And he's called that in the book of Hebrews. The effulgence of his glory. The sun, S-U-N, no one has ever seen. What we see is the corona, the glory of the sun. God, no one has ever seen. But we see the glory of God in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the visible image and the perfect image of the invisible God. And this is why Christ is said to be the glory of God. It's the outpouring of God. Now, has anybody seen Jesus Christ lately? No? Well, what's the glory of Christ? Strange as this might seem, man was made in the image of God and of Christ, so man is the glory of Christ. Well, what's the glory of the man then? Can you see this is a glory train? Starting with God, then Christ, then man, then woman. Because woman is the glory of the man. Says it right here. Now, why shouldn't a man be covering his head? Because Christ is his head. So there should be no separation, no protection, if you will, between the man and Christ. The man is open before God. Well, then why should a woman cover? It's because woman is also the glory of Christ, but not directly. She is said to be the glory of the man. And as the glory of a lesser being, comparing man to Christ, she covers because she does not have the same relationship with the man as the man has with Christ. With a man and Christ, there's to be no protection, no covering, because Christ is good, Christ is great, and so a man would be insulting his head by having something on his head, but a woman actually needs protection from the man because the man is not Christ, and so she has her own covering. I go into this in more detail in Eve Raised, but this has to do with protection. A woman has an added layer of protection than the man has, an added layer of covering, because the man is not to be as trusted as is Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm going to show you a little graph or graphic from this book. If you can't see it that well, I'll just enlarge it on the screen. This is how we generally see this order of God, Christ, man, and woman. We generally see it like this, in a descending order. God in large type, Christ a little smaller type, man a little smaller type, and there's a little woman down here, teensy weensy type. That's not how we are to look at this. This is the common way to look at it. And this is why women over the years have been abused and have been belittled and have been marginalized. Because we're looking at this wrong. We're looking at it as a descent. But it's not a descent. In a way, it's an ascent. Because we're speaking of glory. We're speaking of that which comes out. Christ comes out of God. He's the visible image. Man comes out of Christ. He's a visible image. Woman comes out of man. She's a visible image. And let me ask you this. If Christ is a glory of God, and man is the glory of Christ, that is the image of Christ on the earth, as we ought to be, representatives of him, and a woman is the image, the visible aspect of a man. And we do see this in the Proverbs. The man is celebrated, the Proverbs 31 woman, the man is celebrated because of the woman. She is out there doing things. She is giving him a good name. She is giving him a good reputation. She is a great reflection on him. She is his glory. He would not have the glory that was really his due without the woman. I'm just stating the scriptures. Woman is the glory of the man. She gives to the man, ideally, she gives to the man a good impression. She gives the world a good impression of the man because of her glory, because of her works, because of her industriousness, because of her childbearing, bringing children to the man, to the family. And if you look at all the verbs mentioned in Proverbs 31 concerning the woman, it's really an amazing study when you compare it to the man. The woman has verb after verb after verb attributed to her. And the man has one verb attributed to him. Listen to the attributes of the wife in Proverbs 31. The woman of Proverbs 31 demonstrates this glory that she brings to the man. Her talents to her gender are God-placed. Listen to this. I'm citing here the verbs credited to the Proverbs wife, and then I'm going to contrast them with the verbs native to the husband. The wife seeks, verse 13, works, also verse 13, brings, verse 14, rises, 15, provides, 15, plans, 16, girds, 17, makes, 17, inspects, 18, puts forth, 19, spreads, 20, produces, 24, and watches, 27. And here's the verb attributed to the man. Verse 23, sits. You can't make this up. Look at it for yourself as in Proverbs 31, or get the book Eve Raised. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, is not even nature itself teaching you that if a man indeed should have tresses, it is a dishonor to him. Yet if a woman should have tresses, it is her glory. So if Christ is a glory of God, man's a glory of Christ, woman is a glory of man, what's the glory of woman? Because nothing was created after her. God created Christ, Christ created man, woman came out of man, and nothing has been created since woman. You understand that. Woman is the last creation to leave the hands of God. It's the pinnacle of his creative prowess. Eve is Adam 2.0. Everything in Genesis is an improvement as things come forth in the creation, in the days of creation. It gets more wonderful, more complex. And when we think that God has topped himself with Adam, here comes Eve, Adam 2.0. Nothing's created after her. God has not created one original thing after Eve. She is the pinnacle of his craft, the pinnacle of his prowess, of beauty. Hasn't created one thing since. So that's the case. What's a woman's glory? Her hair. This is how we ought to look at God, Christ, man, and woman. I showed you that first graphic. It's like God, Christ, man, woman. No, this is how you should look at it. God, Christ, man, woman, tresses. This is the glory train. This is what I call the glory train. God is invisible. That's why I have him. It's not because he's not great. It's because he's invisible. So he's in the small type. And the glory, the effulgence of God is Christ, bigger type. What you see, what you appreciate. Well, we haven't seen Christ lately. Therefore, now man is on the stage and he becomes the glory of Christ. Now, what comes out of man? Woman. She's now the glory of the man. And what is her glory? Her tresses. It's not hair, it's tresses. Strands, long strands. It's tresses. That's the scriptural concordant word here. So the tresses, this is the glory train you're looking at. God, Christ, man, woman, tresses. Or I should say, God, Christ, man, woman, tresses. This is why I can say with confidence that the world's first contact with God in the glory train is a woman's hair. A woman's hair. It's the first contact the world has with the glory train that leads to Christ. It seems incredible. What's the first thing that leads us to God? A woman's hair. It's the first thing that leads us to God. This is scriptural. It's laid out. A woman's hair. Because that leads us to the woman. The woman leads us to the man. The man leads us to Christ. Christ leads us to God. Can't say it enough. It's so marvelous. This is the glory train. The effulgence train. And this is why you ladies take such good care of your hair, because you instinctively know this. And what's the first thing a woman does when she gets depressed or she wants to rebel or she hates her husband, she hates men in general, she doesn't want to fulfill her role anymore? Cuts the hair off, because she instinctively knows that that will do the most damage. Oh, she's right. Cuts that hair right off. Remember Britney Spears? Huge state of rebellion, and in that state of rebellion, she shaved her hair completely. What did the horrible Nazis do with the women when they brought them into the concentration camps? Shave their heads. Horrible. It's the most humiliating thing you can do to a woman, because her hair is her glory. And Paul calls on nature to witness it. Nature itself tells you. I had a girlfriend a few years back named Lauren, and she had this beautiful blonde hair, but she always had it tied up, and it drove me crazy. I said, Lauren, why don't you let your hair down? I really would love to see it, because it's nature itself. You see, nature, man loves to see this, loves to see those tresses cascading down over the shoulders, down the back. It's so glorious, so beautiful. We don't know why it is. At the same time, we look at a man with hair down his shoulders and we go, not so much. Not so much. Nature itself teaches you that. There's no scripture. Paul doesn't quote scripture in the passage I just read to you. He cites nature. Nature itself tells you that a woman with tresses is beautiful, but a man with tresses is weird. Just a little weird. Me no likey. So Lauren, I said, please let your hair down. And she would. But then 5 minutes later, she had it tied back again. What is it with these stupid little rubber band things, right? These cloth, bungee, scrunchy things. Women can put their hair up so fast, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they pull it so tight. Lauren used to pull her hair tight like this. Like tighter than a Remo snare drum head. It's like, it's a wonder that her eyes weren't pulled up tight. And then, boom, 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 she'd do all this magical work. And in 2 seconds, she had that hair tortured and compressed, never to be seen again, until I begged her to let it down. Please, let it down. Let it down. So why is that? Why is it? What's with the tresses? I've thought long and hard about this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I've come up with. And this is the new thing. God's glory comes from above. The temple veil was rent from top to bottom. God's glory comes down like the rain. The temple veil at the death of Christ came down from top to bottom. It was hanging. There's something about the hanging. There's something about the gravity working on the tresses, bringing it from top to bottom, that pictures for us, and even the celestial messengers, the angels are looking at this. Paul said that it's for the messengers as well. Therefore, the woman ought to have authority over her head because of the messengers, that is the angels. A woman has an authority over her head that a man doesn't have. A man has no authority over his head. Christ is his authority. But the woman needs protection from the man, and so she has authority over her own head, and her tresses count as covering. She doesn't need to wear something extra on her head, like these little doilies that the Amish wear or the Pentecostal women wear. No, her hair is her covering. And you know that the locusts of Revelation 9, the supernatural locusts that come up from the submerged chaos, they have the hair of women. What? Why? Because judgment also comes down from above. Ladies, please let it hang down. Life is difficult. We need to see it. It is your glory. I'm not saying that there aren't attractive short hairstyles for women. But I'm not saying there are either. God gave women tresses, and the whole world looks upon the hanging down. And subconsciously, it is a testament. Forget for a moment that the locusts have it, that it's God's judgment coming down from heaven. Chiefly on women, not on locusts. Forget the freaking locusts. On women, hair is a picture of the glory of God as it comes down, falls down onto the earth like the gentle rain from heaven.